Good morning. If you would, please turn over to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Book of Genesis, chapter 1. A general awareness of our culture reveals that men perceive the spiritual world, that is, those things of God, heaven, and the holy angels, as under a flood of light. God is depicted as a being of light. Heaven and angels always have a glow or radiance about them. And when men die and supposedly they go to heaven, they see the light or they go to the light. However, mankind also perceives the antithesis, that of darkness. Thus, hell and demons emanate from the dark. Sin loves darkness, and the devil is the ruler of darkness. And I would ask, is there any biblical support for such views? Well, a few months ago, the Lord laid the subject of this message on my heart, and my method has been to survey the use of the word light along with the opposite, darkness. The message which follows is a product of my study. I will also need next week to conclude my thoughts on this subject. Both messages are by nature topical messages and will require a good number of references. I will ask you to turn to some of the Bible passages, and others I will quote to you. If you should desire to look these up yourself, there's a list of the verses there that may be found in your outline. Also for today, my third point, I will be making extensive reference to a variety of Bible commentators. Now, their viewpoints and manner of expression may be enlightening to you. Therefore, I give you or share with you their thoughts. It is my objective to recognize that Christians are called children of light and thus seek to discover what that means. And so the title of my message today is Children of Light, of course, part one. And we'll look at part two next week, the Lord willing. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house, and we ask that you would just still our hearts from the thoughts and the cares of the world. Let there be no distraction. Let us focus upon you and your word. And I pray that you would just give that which you've laid upon my heart to your people, and meet every need of every heart. We pray especially for those that are here that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin, that you would draw them to Jesus. We pray that you would grant repentance and faith, that they might be saved even today. And may we who are saved honor you, worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask that you would meet every need, and only you can supply those solutions. And so we look to you, whatever those things may be. And so, Father, today we desire to honor you and to worship you through this time, and we pray the songs have been received to your glory, the prayers have been heard, and Lord, we pray that you would bless as we look into your word. We commit it to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think about the idea of children of light, and to do this, I've chosen to begin right at the beginning here in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 1. And we'll notice a few passages out of the book of Genesis. And that is, just notice that the existence of God is simply stated. Realize that this is true. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Boom, that's all there is. It's a declaration. There is God. In the beginning, God. And God created the heaven and the earth. And so God exists. Simply stated in the Scripture. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, listen, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Now we have the declaration that God exists. Well, this God is a God of light. That's what John told us. Also then in 1 Timothy, Paul wrote, and he says, "Who," that's a reference to God, "who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." And so God is light. God dwells in the light. Also in 1 John, John wrote, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." Now what do we learn as we begin right here with God? One, we find that God simply expresses as an existent being is that God is light. That means that God has always been light. There was never a time that God wasn't light, because God has always been, and God will always be, and God is light. So when we think about children of darkness, we begin with God, that God is light. But we also understand from the passages which I've referred you to is that God has always dwelt in the light. Not only is God light, but He has dwelt in the light. And then also I would surmise from this that this light must be spiritual in essence. The fact of the matter is we really cannot define this light. If God is light and we know that God is a spirit, there must be some sort of spiritual relationship to this. But we cannot define this light as we define light right now, because this light really is beyond our understanding. It's beyond our comprehension. We cannot put any parameters upon it. And so the only thing I can do is just really fall back and say, well, there's a spiritual in essence is this light. It's the only thing I can really do. And if you disagree with that, then I just would challenge you to come up with a better definition, because how else would you define it? So as we go through the study of children of light and the references we're going to look at today, I'll be making a statement that these are spiritually applied. That's the only way it can be. I don't know the ins and outs of it. I can only do with what God has revealed to us. And God is light, and God dwells in the light, but it must be spiritual in essence. And you say, well, how do you know that it was spiritual in essence? Because what we find in verse 1 is that beginning God created the heaven and the earth, correct? And we know that God is the great creator. God created the physical world. He created this material universe. And so if I look at light from a scientific standpoint, I see it from a physical standpoint, from a material standpoint. Now, God created the material universe. As a matter of fact, right here in the passage, here in Genesis chapter 1, you'll notice, secondly, that God then created light. Now, apparently, this is physical. This is material light. In science, you know, we have the light waves, and they can, we have the spectrum and all that. Well, I'm not a scientist. I can't explain it all, but I know that God is light. God has always existed. It's a spiritual light in some degree. But what do you read in verse 3? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So I know that God is light, and God dwelled in the light, has always dwelt in the light. Yet when He created this universe, He created light. Now when we read verse 3 through verse 5, when we see on this first day that God created light and He saw that it was good, we also found in that passage that light has an antithesis, has an opposite. It's called darkness. God divided the light from the darkness, verse 4 says. You also see in this passage in verse 5 that the terms that are given to us are used and reflects the nature of these things. It says in verse 5, and God called the light day. So light equals day. But then He says, and the darkness He called night. And so darkness equals night. Now we understand in our life and in our the way we go through this world, we know about light and we know about dark. We know about day and we know about night. But we begin at the beginning that God is light, but then God created light. Now, look further. And it's an interesting thing that as we go through this passage, that actually what we find in the creative order of God, as we have recorded for us, that natural light, and that's how I define the light as we see, the light that's coming out from these lights or the sunlight that's coming in these windows, that natural light was created before there was a source for that light. I hope you understand that. Boggles my mind. Can you explain it? I can't explain it. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was a good thing. But then on the fourth day, pick it up there in verse 14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. So we know there's a difference between them, right? And let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser night to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And so we understand light coming from a source of light. We flick on a switch, a bulb comes on, and light comes out. We walk outside, we see the sunlight. At night, we look up and we see the stars, and we see the starlight. You say, well, the moon. But, you know, I think we all understand by now that the moon actually doesn't have its own light, but it just reflects. The moon is not really a source of light. It's just a reflect of the sunlight. But the Bible says that the moon, having no light of its own, rules the night. Which is really appropriate, considering the night is darkness, isn't it? And so the moon rules over the night, but it has no light of its own. And it certainly is in contrast to the day. And so we look outside, we have a beautiful sunny day, and not a cloud in the sky, and we just see the brilliance of it. But we read in the text that here is God first, who is light. But then he made light, and then he made the source for light. Can I explain all that? No, I can't. I don't need to. I accept God at his word. I believe with all of my heart. Now, what we find in this passage, and the verses which we read also, and just a reminder is that, and I think it's just a conclusion, night or darkness is really the absence of light. It's really what it is. And so if we turn off these lights, it would become darker in here. If we would cover up the windows, then it would really become dark in here. So when I think about children of light, I begin at the beginning. I begin with God and what God did in this universe. And generally speaking, and you just if as we go through this message this week and as we think about it next week, you just have to plug in the idea and understand that in many ways, natural light, that which we understand, the incandescent light and all these kind of things, the natural light is an analogy of spiritual light. Now, I wouldn't make every aspect of it equal. I mean, I wouldn't try to explain God from the light bulb or from the sun. I wouldn't ever try to do that. But I will tell you, the Bible makes it very clear that God is light, and yet he made light and all that, and we can learn a great deal from light and see the difference, and you'll see it as expressed in the Scripture when he uses the word light, and it's in a spiritual sense. The natural light is an analogy to it, and yet we see the Scriptures are interwoven when it discusses this matter of light. To prove this, as we begin at the beginning, we begin with God. I want to go on progression from there. And we realize that God then provides light, doesn't he? Listen, if you will, to these verses. Now, you know who God is in his nature. In his spiritual essence, there's a spiritual light, and he dwells in that light. But he also made light later, correct? Yet when we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and chapter 22 about the New Jerusalem, listen to these verses. Revelation 21:23 says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Interesting statement, isn't it? In chapter 22, book of Revelation, verse 5, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." It's interesting that what we find is that God, who is light, who dwells in the light, is spoken of in the New Jerusalem as the one who provides the light, and yet what we find in the text is has to be some sort of a physical reference because of its contrast with the sun and with the moon and with the candle. And so he says, in New Jerusalem, we don't need the sun and we don't need candles and there won't be any moon because there's no night. And yet God is the one that lightens that. Interesting, isn't it? Because all we think about is just this physical, natural light that, you know, we turn on a switch and boom, light fills the room. And yet the Bible declares that in the future of this place, that God, who is light, spiritual in essence, has some sort of physical response because there's no need for the sun and the moon, candles, stars. Wow, that's something, isn't it? So there has a physical reference to some degree, and there has to be a spiritual reference as well. I think there's implications behind that. Not only does God provide a light, but as we move to a more spiritual application, as the scriptures unfold for us about who Jesus Christ is, Jesus provides the light. Listen, if you will, to some of these verses. Luke chapter 2, verse 32 says that He's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now, certainly we wouldn't make the mistake of saying, well, that's just talking about the future, and He's the replacement for physical life. That's not it at all. This is all spiritual now. Talking about Jesus Christ is going to be a light to the Gentiles. But if you want to have an understanding of what that means, then you can look at natural light and pull some analogies from that and apply it to spiritual light, and you can learn from that and you can grow. You can learn something about God. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Would any of us dare try to apply that verse as, well, He's like a beacon, you know, and just like a, that's it, He's going to light up the world. No, but He is the light of the world, isn't it? And it's a spiritual thing, isn't it? John 9, verse 5, as long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. Is that true? Absolutely. In John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Interesting, isn't it? That Jesus became a light into the world, and so the world was dark, and not light stepped into the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and there was darkness all over, and God, who was the light, shined through the darkness, and He created the light. Interesting. John chapter 1 and verse 4, very clear text. Down through verse 9 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about children of light. In Him was life, and His life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so we know that God is light, and He's a spiritual thing, but yet there's some sort of response in the physical aspect. God provides light. Jesus provides light. We know that's a spiritual aspect. Further, as you go through these verses, you'll find John the Baptist, as even referenced in John 1, provided spiritual light. And it's recorded in John chapter 5. He was a burning and a shining light. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in His light. Just for sake of challenge, what kind of light are you? I will sing a kid's song, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Well, what kind of light are you? You're children of light. Are you shining? Is there a spiritual radiance that you project? John provided spiritual light. And there's a couple references in regard to the truth of God in the gospel. Matthew chapter 4 says in verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Gospel came to them. Luke 1:79 says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Light and darkness. Do you realize that before you were saved, you're completely in the dark? Aren't you glad that light's come in? Aren't you glad? And it wasn't by a light switch, but light has come on. And we're not talking about a better idea as they've advertised for a long time. It's just a matter of we find there's a discussion of who God is, a spiritual essence of light, and the effect that it has upon the world around. Now, I'm going to give you four explicit references in the Scripture, because we're dealing with the topical idea of children of light, to demonstrate to you, to prove to you, that we who are saved, generally born again, are children of light. So take some of that which you've heard and some of that which you've learned and think about natural light, and you can plug in some things and glean from it. So I give four explicit text references. They are listed in the bulletin. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, turn over there. Ephesians chapter 5. This is where I said to you that I would give the commentator's expression. So bear with me as I do this. It's just, you can hear their view and their expression. I think it'll be a blessing to you. But notice in Ephesians chapter 5, there are four verses that I want to point out to you, and then we'll draw a very brief conclusion. Number one, Ephesians 5, verse 8. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." See that? You were dark, now you're light. How should we walk? As children of light. Let me share with you. John Gill said, "For you were sometimes darkness, not only dark, but darkness itself. Exceeding blind, dark, and ignorant, respecting spiritual things. But now are you light in the Lord. And the eyes of their understandings were enlightened, and this light is so great that they are not only said to be enlightened, but to be light itself. And this they have not of and from themselves, but the Lord, and therefore should walk as children of light, not in sins which are of works of darkness, but in faith, truth, and holiness." There's a challenge to us, isn't there? Albert Barnes says, in regard to "you were sometimes darkness," the meaning here is that they were themselves formerly sunk in the same ignorance and practiced the same abominations. But now you're light in the Lord. And so the light is the emblem of happiness, knowledge, holiness. The meaning is that they had been enlightened by the Lord to see the evil of their these practices, and that they ought therefore to forsake them. So walk as children of light. And the meaning here is that they should live as became those who had been enlightened to see the evil of sin and the beauty of virtue of religion. Adam Clark says, in regard to "now you're light in the Lord," when ye were in heathenish darkness, ye served divers lusts and pleasures. But now ye have light, the wisdom and teaching which comes from God. Therefore walk as children of light. Let the world see that you are not slaves to the flesh, but free, willing, rational servants of the Most High, not brutish followers of devil gods. Matthew Henry says, and he says, note, a state of sin in a state of darkness. Sinners, like men in the dark, are going they know not whither, and doing they know not what. But the grace of God had produced a mighty change in their souls. Now are ye light in the Lord, savingly enlightened by the Word and the Spirit of God. Jameson Foster the Brown says that in regard to children of light, not merely of the light, just as children of disobedience is used on the opposite side. Those whose distinguishing characteristic is light. Then he refers to Pliny, a heathen writing to Trajan, where he bears unwilling testimony to the extraordinary purity of Christians' lives contrasted with the people around them. So Ephesians chapter 5, and you see some expressions there in the contrast between darkness and light and how we ought to walk as children of light. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That was number 1. I direct your attention to number 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, makes this statement: "You are all the children of light, and the children," are you surprised by this? "Children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." Look at the contrast in that text. And so John Gill says, "You're all children of light," or enlightened persons whose understandings were enlightened by the Spirit of God, to see their lost state by nature, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the insufficiency of their righteousness to justify them before God. Barnes said, "You're all children of light, all who are Christians." The phrase "children of light" is a Hebrewism, meaning that they were the enlightened children of God. You know, if you're saved today, you've been enlightened. That's what light does, doesn't it? That enlighten, illuminate. Matthew Henry observes their character and privilege. They are not in darkness. They are the children of light, and so forth. This was the happy condition of the Thessalonians, as it is of all true Christians. They were not in a state of sin and ignorance as the heathen world. They were sometime darkness, but were made light in the Lord. They were favored with the divine revelation of things that were unseen and eternal, particularly concerning the coming of Christ and the consequences thereof. They were the children of the day, for the day star had risen upon them. Yea, the Son of Righteousness had arisen upon them with healing under His wings. They were no longer under the darkness of heathenism, nor under the shadow of the law, but under the gospel which brings life and immortality to light. Turn to number 3, Luke chapter 16. You see a little bit of the definition and contrast, which, by the way, as we enter next week and review, I will point out those things from these four verses which I share to you today. Luke chapter 16, verse 8. And the Lord, this is from a parable, but it says, "And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world," notice the contrast, "the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Is that true for you today? You're children of light. Is the world wiser than you are? Well, notice what these commentators have to say. John Gill said, in regard to the children of the world being in their generation wiser, it says, "By the children of this world, in general, they were such who were, as they were born into this world, in their sins, in the pollution, and under the guilt of them, were carnal, in the flesh, or unregenerate, and in darkness and blindness. They were such as were not only in the world, but of it. They belonged to it, having never been called out of it, and were under the influence of God, influence of the God of it." Then he contrasts the children of light, and so he says, "Now the men of the world, or carnal men, are generally speaking wiser than these. Not in spiritual, but in things natural, in the affairs of life, in worldly manners." And that's the description of the text. In the worldly things, the children of the light just doesn't seem to pick up with it too much. He says, in their generation, the children of the world or the children of darkness are wiser than children of light. You know what? That really ought not to be. Paul told the Corinthians that we shall judge angels. And he rebuked the Corinthian church and said, "Set you people in place of position and judgment who are least esteemed in the church. Isn't there anybody wise among you? Can't you make any sort of judgment?" Then he condemns them for going to the law before the world. The children of this world are often wiser than children of light. But if you're saved, you're children of light. That's what you need to gather from this. And notice the contrast. Albert Barnes said in regard to this text, "We cannot but reflect how different the world would be if all Christians were as anxious and diligent and prudent in religious matters as others are in worldly things." Boy, that's a challenge, isn't it? What if we were just as dedicated to the things of God as the world is to the things of the world? What a difference that would make. Matthew Henry said, "The children of this world who choose and have their portions in it are wiser for their generation, act more considerately, and better consult their worldly interests and advantage than the children of light. The children of light are commonly outdone by the children of this world. Not that the children of this world are truly wise. It is only in their generation, but in that they are wiser than the children of the light is in theirs." And so that's a challenge to us as children of light to be wise. The last text is John chapter 12. John chapter 12. After this, I will draw a brief conclusion. John chapter 12, verse 36. "While you have the light, believe in the light. Notice that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them." Again, John Gill says, while you have the light, believe in the light. He says, receive the Messiah and credit the gospel revelation. This is an explanation of the exhortation in the preceding verse. "So that they may be children of light," that is, that they might appear to be such who are enlightened persons. "And such are truly so, who are made light in the Lord, and who are enlightened by the Spirit of God to see their own sinfulness, impotency, and unrighteousness, and their need of Christ and His righteousness and strength, and of salvation by Him. And who are made meet by the grace of God to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and which is made manifest by believing in Christ and walking on in Him, as they have received Him, and by walking honestly as in the daytime, and circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, for such walk as children of light." Adam Clark said in regard to the children of light, "Let the light, the truth of Christ, so dwell and work in you that you may be all light in the Lord, that as truly as a child is a produce of his own parent and partakes of his nature, so ye may be children of light, have nothing in you but truth and righteousness. And then Matthew Henry said, those that believe in the light shall be children of light. They shall be owned as Christians who are called children of light and of the day. And those that have God for their father are children of light, for God is light. They are born from above and heirs of heaven and children of light, for heaven is light. And Robertson, in regard to this sons of light, says it's equivalent to being enlightened men. And of course, he makes a reference, and others did too, that Jesus called his disciples that they should be lights unto the world. And so what I've attempted to show you today, really, and I'm only halfway through, so if you say, well, I'm just kind of, you left, lost me. Well, hang in there. Stick with it. Come back next week. Same time, same place. Because we'll continue this. And what I will show you next week, the Lord willing, is a description of light and darkness. Biblical description. A contrast between light and darkness. And then you'll see what it means to be children of light. But before we close then today, let me offer some thoughts unto you as I finish. Number one, as you think about those things which we've discussed, I want to mention unto you that children of light are not born that way, but are so because of the new birth. In other words, every person that's born in this world outside of Jesus Christ is born dead in trespasses and sins. Every person born in this world is in darkness. And they naturally inherit human depravity, total depravity. And the problem with the philosophers down through the ages is they feel like, oh, well, there's a natural spark in man. All you got to do is fan it enough and then flame up. And that little inkling of light will just flame up into a burst of radiance and understanding and illumination, and this world will get better. No, it will not. When you were born, you're born dead. You were born in darkness. And as we talk about children of light were not born that way. They became children of light by the new birth. So understand that all are children of darkness by nature. And then understand that those saved have received the light. One at Johnny Cash or somebody, I saw the light. Something like that. Have you seen the light? Are you children of light today? Would you say, yes, I was in darkness, but now I am in the light? If you're saved, I want you to know biblically you're children of the light. But if you're lost, you remain in darkness. And I know that doesn't mean a whole lot to you because you're lost. That doesn't sink in. There's not much perception there. And the reason is because you're blind. You're already dead. You're in darkness. And it's hard to understand and comprehend when you're in darkness. So I make it very clear that children of light are not born that way, but it's from the new birth. Secondly, turn if you will to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 if you want to look at it. You might have it memorized, but I'm going to refer you to this text. Secondly, children of light have a change in nature and being. It just is a given. If I was in darkness, if I'm a child of light, I've had to have a change in my nature and in my being. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's been a change in you. If you're really born again, if you're really a child of light, there's a difference. Your nature has been converted. It's something new. And by the way, it's toward the light. And it's been enlightened. And we share in that light. We'll talk about that too. But children of light have a change in nature and being. If you've not had that change, you're still in darkness. Number three, children of light become the likeness of God, but not sharing in His nature or essence. When I say that we're children of light, I believe that because that's what the Bible says. We're children of light. But I do not for a second believe that we become like God or we become as God. The Mormons are very adept to that. They're called the God makers because every person is a part of the divine and then you become a part of God. You'll never become a part of God. God is God. He's always been God and always will be God. He is the light and He dwells in the light. But as children of light, we share in that, but not in its essence and nature. Now, I don't know how to explain that any further than that. I'm not going to be a God in the future or part of God. But I am a child of light. And I'll dwell in the New Jerusalem where God is the light thereof. And forget the sun and the moon and the stars and the candles. We don't need it. So if you're truly saved today, you're children of light, but you'll never be a god. And then fourthly, children of light are called the children of the day. And we've already read that in the scripture. I just want you to know that. Remind you, if you're a child of the light, you're a child of the day. And you can look at day and night, and that ought to, you ought to learn from our own natural world about how we ought to be. The last thing is this, and you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go back a chapter to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I finish with this. I want to make it very clear in closing that only God can make a person a child of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." All men in this world are dark, they're dead in trespasses and sins, and only God can make that change that we talked about. Only God can give us eternal life. Only God can bring light out of that darkness. And as God began in the very beginning, as darkness was over the face of the deep, and He said, "Let there be light." In every one of us, as we were lost and dead and in darkness, God, when He saved us, said, "Let there be light." And we become children of light. Now, there's much description about that. Again, we'll talk about that next week, but I hope we have a good foundation, a good start from that. And I pray that your time has been well invested today and you'll see a return on it. But you are, if you're saved, you're children of light, but if you're here and you're lost, you're in the dark and you're wandering around in the dark, and Jesus is your only answer. He is the light of the world. The truth of the gospel is what makes a difference. God can bring the light out of darkness. And so, lost person today, I point you to Jesus. He alone can save you. He alone can give you eternal life. He alone can raise you from the dead. Would you repent and believe on the Lord? Would you be saved today? Would you become a child of light by His grace and by His mercy? I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? I appreciate your patience and I appreciate your kind attention. And I pray that God will speak and has spoken to your heart. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to share. And I pray that you would just touch every heart here today. That we who are saved would rejoice in what you've done in us and how you've saved us, and all by your grace and mercy and your love toward us. Thank you for that. Thank you for making us children of light. But our heart goes out to those who yet remain in darkness. Lord, they don't realize they're dark. They don't realize they're blind. But God, only you can reveal it to them. And so we ask by your Spirit that you would do that today. We pray that you would save them according to your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number did you choose, Brother Paul?